Invite us now to hear the Easter story as told by Luke. We're going to read in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 12. It says, on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified, bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. That was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up, ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. It's the word of God for us, the people of God. That thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, as we have heard this good news of Christ's resurrection, I pray that your word would stir up within us new life. That we take hold of that promise of resurrection and what it means for us. Lord, I pray that my words would honor and glorify you in Christ's name. Amen. So a while back, I was having a conversation with a pastor friend of mine about what is the biggest day in the church year? I know, exciting conversation. Pastors, I guess we don't have a lot else to talk about. But while it's not your typical coffee table conversation, we were in this conversation. And you can imagine, as we were wheeling our way through all the different days in the church year, we kind of settled on a top two, right? Christmas and Easter. I mean, you probably could have guessed that even without having to go to seminary or anything else. In a lot of ways, these two days are inseparable, right? I mean, their meanings are attached to one another. Christ's birth is important because of his death and resurrection. Part of what makes his death and resurrection special is the way in which he was born. But as we were thinking of which one might be the top one, we sort of settled on Christmas, right, as being the top one. Well, Easter matters more, but Christmas might be the one that's most celebrated. And as we were thinking about it, one of the advantages that we gave to Christmas was just the overabundance of Christmas songs. Right? I mean, there's just not a lot of Easter songs that are out there. And so, again, pastors, it's interesting conversations we have. We tried to figure out, are there Christmas songs we could repurpose for Easter, right? So that maybe Easter could have like the week-long TV specials and maybe Mariah Carey will sing for Easter also. And so we were thinking of, some of the songs but O Little Town of Jerusalem just didn't sound right. Deck the Tombs was maybe a little bit off. Silent Night, I was like, But there was one song. Thank you. That was the delayed reaction that you talk about, Mike. I appreciate that. Thank you. Silent Night, right? But there was one song that we felt like was really fitting for Easter that was also at Christmas, and it's Joy to the World. Right, Joy to the World. I almost suggested that we sing it this morning, but our resurrection songs are just so good, too good to pass by. But I think Joy to the World would be a great song for Easter because more than anything, Easter is a celebration of joy. Right, on Easter, we celebrate with joy the empty tomb. We find joy in the power of resurrection and experiencing the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Our present lives are filled with joy. It's at Easter that we celebrate the kind of joy that each of us so desperately long for. The joy that wipes away every tear when sorrow is no more, when all suffering is put to an end. It's at Easter that we celebrate the joy that comes through Christ's victory. The victory over death, over sin, over hell. Not just victory for us, but his victory that's been won for the entire world. For God so loved the world. We celebrate with joy that at Easter, the whole world is being made new. Now, some 700 years before Jesus, the prophet Isaiah, he would talk about what Easter would mean, what the celebration of joy would mean. He writes, he says, "For I'm about to create a new heaven and a new earth. The former thing shall not be remembered or come to mind. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard or the cry of distress. But the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, says the Lord." So what the prophet was foretelling is a new creation that God was bringing about. He's saying there's a new creation that would emerge in the midst of our present suffering and overtake it. A new heaven and a new earth where God's presence, where God's power would fill every part of it. I mean, this is what the joy of Easter is about. That through Christ's resurrection, through his defeating of sin and death in the grave, that the entire world is being made new. And in this new creation that's emerging through Christ's resurrection, the prophet tells us that predator and prey, the wolf and the lamb will lie down together in peace. As he tells us that the serpent's food will become dust. He's saying that whatever threats we have, whatever dangers that we might face, that they are being put to an end. They've been neutralized and defeated. So we're called to rejoice because of this new creation that's emerging through Christ's resurrection. Right? All of the world is being made new. And now we hear this talk about what Easter means, the world being made new, peace, joy, and yet we still see the world in a mess. Right? There's war and poverty, there's discrimination and division, there's sickness and sorrow. Many of us face our own challenges throughout each day. On a regular basis, we see all of these things taking place. The peaceable kingdom that the prophet Isaiah talks about hasn't arrived yet, so how is there joy? Well, let's say it's Christmas time. You know, we'll go back to Christmas. Let's say it's Christmas time. You know, you give gifts to your children at Christmas time. Let's say it's Christmas time, and I decide to give my kids, Disney World tickets, right? And then I tell them, you know, they're excited about it. They see the tickets. They're holding them in their hands, and I say, okay, but we're not going until March. They're still going to be excited. They're still going to have joy because they can see the tickets. They can hold them. They can touch it in their hands. There's a new reality in their life. They're going on this trip. Even though they're not at Disney just yet, they still have joy because of the promise, a real promise, one that they can take hold of, that they can see in the moment, even though it's not theirs just yet. They're anticipating. They're excited. They're longing for the day when they get to go see Mickey Mouse. Even though it's not fully realized yet, they still have joy. And I think that's kind of what our Easter joy is like as we celebrate the new creation. Right? We have the ticket. A new reality has entered into life and into the world. And we wait with joy for the day whenever our anticipation is fully realized, when everything is completely made new. See, Easter offers us this promise that suffering will be vindicated, that death will be overcome, that a new life has risen. For just as Jesus passed from death to resurrection, the whole world is going to pass from suffering into the glory of a new life. That's the Easter joy. That's what we get to celebrate. It's not that the not good things don't exist, but they don't have the power to tell the ultimate story. That we know the truth. Reality of what is breaking forth into the world around us. It's the life that comes through Christ's resurrection. As we take hold of that promise, as we take hold of that ticket into eternal life, that's how we live with Easter joy. The Apostle Paul, he kind of explains it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 through 23, he says, and this is me paraphrasing, he says, "It is a fact that Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have died. Since death and destruction entered into the world through a human being, resurrection and peace have also come through a human being. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there's an order to this resurrection. Jesus is the first fruits, and then at his coming, all who belong to him will be raised. See, what Paul is saying is that Jesus is the ticket. In his resurrection, we have not only the promise that the world is going to be made new, but we can see this plan that God has beginning to unfold. We see new life emerging out of death. We see holiness overcoming sin. We see beauty from ashes and celebration in the face of sorrow. Things aren't perfect yet on this side of the new creation, but we have joy because we see the promise being fulfilled of what is to come. Now, there's just a little bit more to it. Because new creation and new life, they're not just cosmic events. It's not just the whole world that God is making new, but it's personal. It's me and you as well that God says, I'm making all things new. A few verses later in 1 Corinthians, verses 48 and 49, Paul writes, he says, as was the man of dust, Adam, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, Jesus, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the dust of man, so also we will bear the image of the man of heaven. And what he's saying is that through faith in Jesus, through trusting in his resurrection as the promise for our salvation, that we become born anew. No longer are we born of dust, but we are born of heaven. This means we no longer belong to the world. Right? Instead, we become citizens of heaven. It means that the finitude of this world no longer holds us. The corruptibility of this world no longer keeps us in its grasp. It means for us that the vices, the habits, the hurts, the hang-ups that so oftentimes we allow to define us no longer have to create that pain within us because of what Christ has done. If we are joined with Christ, then we are a new creation. We're becoming a part of this new creation that God is bringing into the world through Christ's resurrection. Because in resurrection, Jesus has defeated the powers of sin and death. They no longer hold us captive. With no fear of death, no guilt of sin, with no shame over what we once were, we become empowered to live lives that participate in this new creation. We are empowered to live a new life here and today, a life that's filled with the joy of Jesus Christ, a promise and a hope that's come to us because Christ has been raised, and we're empowered to go out and to share that same joy with those around us because we no longer look to find our joy in the things that are temporary because we have found our joy in the things that are eternal. We are empowered in resurrection to stop looking for joy in the things that we can attain. Right, to stop looking for joy through our body's appearance. To stop looking for joy through the way that other people think about us. To stop looking for joy based on how good my kids are or how good my grandkids are. To stop looking for joy by reaching for power, by trying to control everything, by trying to make sure that I'm secure and I'm safe. And that all the things of this world can't harm me. Because none of these things are fully attainable. We can stop looking for joy in the busyness of our pressured and preoccupied and hurried lives as we search and try to find meaning because the resurrection of Jesus has presented to us a new reality. Right, just like the angels told the women at the tomb, you have to stop looking for life in the midst of death. You have to stop looking for life in the things that are temporary, the things that are of the dust, the things that are going to rot and fade away, and instead look for life in Jesus. Because the search for joy in things that are temporary is going to leave you empty. It's going to leave you lifeless. All these things of the world are of the dust, and they will rot and fall away. When you find that myth of the so-called perfect life, when you find that it's unattainable, when you find that no matter how much you achieve, that you can't achieve everything that you were hoping and looking for, instead of joy that these things promise, instead you find despair. But Scripture tells us that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. There is a joy because our lives are no longer founded on this world of dust, but in the new heavens and the new earth that God is creating. In Christ's resurrection, our searching for joy is directed from the temporary to that which is eternal. We look beyond our present realities to the new reality that has begun in Jesus Christ. We turn our eyes from looking at earthly treasures to focusing on that heavenly city. We find joy as we look and we see glimpses of this new heaven breaking out on earth, where we see God's goodness springing forth in the midst of dust. When we're filled with this new life, when we become a part of the new creation that God is bringing about in Jesus Christ, we're no longer held captive by our fears and our anxieties, by the things of this world that grip us. We're no longer held by the grip of guilt over the things that we missed out on or that we messed up. But instead, as we find our life, as we find our joy in Christ, we begin living into this new heaven and this new earth here and now. The new life we find in Christ, it leads us out into the suffering of the world around us to begin spreading the joy, the promise of Christ's resurrection. It enables us to be able to say there's a different world. There's a better world. There is a new life that is possible because Christ has overcome the powers of sin and the power of death within our lives. We're invited, we're empowered to go out and offer the peace of Christ in the midst of conflict, the love of God in the face of loneliness. The new life that Christ offers to us makes our prayer for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven not just a neat idea, but it makes it a present reality. And so we seek to be people who bring a little taste of heaven, a little slice of Christ's joy into all of our encounters, into everyone that we meet, into every situation that we enter into. We bring the power and the hope of Christ's resurrection with us. In all of our relationships, in the midst of our communities and our neighborhoods, whenever we enter into the workplace, we go forth as those who have the joy of Christ, knowing that Christ has overcome. We go because we have the ticket, right? We have the joy. Christ is risen, he is alive, and we are being made new. Now, if you're here this morning and you would like to experience that new life in Christ, starting today, you say, you know what, I want that. I want that joy that comes from knowing Christ. I want that joy that comes from an encounter with the risen Christ, a joy that fills my life, a joy that leads me from searching for things here in this world to focusing my attention on that which is eternal. It's as simple as making a decision. And it's a commitment to say yes to Jesus. You start saying yes to Jesus today, and then you keep on saying yes each and every day and asking him, Jesus, give me that Easter joy. Jesus, help me to live today with the power of your resurrection within me. Jesus, I'm giving myself to you. Jesus, I'm living for that new heaven, that new earth that's been made possible through Christ's resurrection. So I'm going to invite us all to pray a prayer of commitment together. You can just repeat after me as we pray. We'll say, Dear God, thank you for resurrection power. Thank you that Jesus is alive. Thank you that true joy is possible through him. I confess I need him to save me. I want to be made new. Please forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your eternal joy. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.